Kevin, welcome to Talk Satellite.
Thanks very much for having me. Great pleasure to be here.
Wonderful to be attending ETL Systems here in Hereford. Always good to see your facilities and company growing year on year. Kevin, your first year at the helm of ETL Systems, what attracted you to take the CEO role and how has your first few months with the company been?
ETL Systems has always been a recognised leader in RF distribution, satellite communications market. And so an opportunity to come and be the CEO of such an organisation and such an innovative business that's grown at the pace that it has. And again, to be part of a fast-growing satellite communications market is really the real draw for me. Now, I sort of see this as a real opportunity for a way for me and the business to contribute to a really exciting and fast-moving industry that maybe hasn't always been quite that fast-paced, but now has evolved very much with some of the new technologies coming through. I'm massively proud to be part of that network and help change the face of the SATCOM industry moving forward. The first few months have really been getting to grips with how the business operate, getting to know the team, spending a lot of time with people within the business, getting to understand how we operate as an organisation. And again, getting out to see a lot of customers. I've had the benefit of getting out to the SAT show. That was very shortly after I started with the business. Getting out to CABSAT. I'm off to World Satellite Business Week, IBC, DSEI. Really keen to get out and spend time with our customers and really understand what they expect from us and getting to meet some of the key people in those organisations. That's been very much the driver for the first few months.
You now have your feet firmly under the table. Where's your focus going to be for this year for ETL as the new CEO?
The organisation has always been focused on innovative design, staying at the forefront of technology, and that remains very much the case. Really looking to evolve our offerings, particularly around the market requirements for digitised ground infrastructure. It's a big part of our sort of future direction. Spent a lot of time developing systems in this environment over the last few years, and obviously that's starting to really take off in terms of the evolution of the marketplace there. But also not forgetting that we still are a significant RF development organisation. We have a huge RF offering, and the market is still demanding higher performance RF offerings, particularly as we move into the LEO environment and higher frequency bands, Q&V. We're looking at how we take that forward. Those developments are really a big piece of where we're looking at over the next 12 months. In terms of sort of secondary to that, again, satisfying the growth. It's great having the products at the front end. We've got to make sure that the business has the infrastructure to be able to support that. Really being looking at how we support our growth plans with the scale up of our operations, our engineering capability, and recently newly appointed a chief operating officer to take a big focus on our operational strategy and how we support the business moving forward. That's the primary areas that we're going to be looking at.
An exciting time to be in our industry. Some areas moving very quickly, some others not so much. How is ETL responding to the changes we are seeing in the SATCOM landscape?
As we see the evolution in the ecosystem, particularly around the interoperation of GEO, MEO and LEO satellites, what that means for the ground infrastructure to be able to cope with that, and also the closer integration in terms of the traditional telecoms market, all being a major driver in what we need to be looking at for providing flexible ground systems where kind of focus our attention. And this is both across the RF domain and more so now in the digital domain, as we're starting to see. And that level of flexibility is really what the big driver is that we're seeing from our customers and the marketplace as a whole. We began a number of years ago, particularly in the digital environment, developing technology that would support this. We saw that was going to be the direction of travel. We've had the benefit of having a good number of years developing systems into that space and really looking at how that interface between the RF components and the modem are able to be managed in a digital environment rather than the traditional RF distribution environments that we've seen historically. We're also a key member in the DIFI consortium, which is really a big focus on standards that enable the interoperability across the network. So we have a member, Simon Swift, on the board of the DIFI consortium, and he's very heavily involved with a number of our engineering team as well. That's helping shape what that environment needs to look like. We're pretty well positioned to support that move to digital infrastructure with the products that we've got today and our development roadmap. Basically, our new Genus digital solution covers a number of those bases in terms of ground infrastructure, teleport systems, to really enable our customers to optimise their ground system designs. And alongside our strong pedigree in RF distribution systems, we also provide a system configuration and system definition capability that really enable customers to get the benefits of the digital environment while still maximising what they get from their traditional RF systems.
How will the trends towards virtualization impact ATL analog RF distribution range?
So firstly, I think the change is not going to happen overnight. So I think we recognise that there's a huge amount of ongoing collaboration required across the industry in order to make this happen. And a major part of that is supported by the likes of the DIFI consortium, where to standardise the approach to interoperability. And that's going to be absolutely critical to the success of the digital ground environment. And I think this is where the way that those standards are being defined by a number of the key industry players that have all come together really says how serious everyone is about making this work and genuinely about what that's going to mean for overall ground system infrastructure as we move forward. We recognise that the whole industry at this point is now on a bit of a path to transformation, and our focus is really to provide our customers with agile and flexible systems to meet their needs. We still see analog RF as being a major contributor to the ground infrastructure for years to come, and we're evolving our systems from an RF distribution approach, whether it be the traditional RF, whether it be purely digital systems, or a hybrid approach to both. There's a huge amount of RF equipment still out in service. Most of the new teleports and ground stations are still going to have either an entire element or part element RF, so we still see that continuing a number of years to come. But we feel that with our experience on both sides of the RF and digital domain, that we can provide customers with the ground systems that they're going to need, and we can evolve the solution as the market moves, depending on whatever pace that actually happens at. So I think it depends a little bit on the customers. Some, I think, are more advanced in their understanding of how a digital infrastructure could benefit their operations. Others, maybe not as far down that path. And I think when we're in a position where this is, for want of a better description, a standard offering, then as a like-for-like basis, obviously customers will get the choice. At the moment, the maturity in the overall infrastructure is not quite there from a digital perspective. That means that it's a true like-for-like comparison. I think that's where we'll probably see certain early adopters that want to explore the art of the possible, and others that will stick with RF until it's very well established.
Many companies in our sector pivoting to catch the government budgets, a traditional hunting ground for ATL systems. What challenges and opportunities are provided in this domain for you?
We've got very strong engagement with our government customers. We do a lot of business with those customers, and we've got good relationships. I think we understand where their development roadmaps are going. We're pretty well aligned in terms of our equipment, our developments, and our approach to engaging with those parties. I mean, I think in areas such as digitization, we're seeing a number of different use cases for digitization of RF signals and how that can be applied. And I think this really makes sense for a number of government customers. given that they are quite often the early adopters of some of these technologies, I think this is where a lot of the proving ground will be for how the technology can be applied, what applications, because there are multiple different applications. Once you've digitized the signal, you can pretty much do whatever you want with it with no degradation and a high level of interrogation. Overall, the challenge in that environment is once technology is out there and the understanding is out there, the expectations for the pace of implementation becomes the biggest challenge. Trying to align everything in terms of technology, the infrastructure, to be able to support the aspirations of a number of our customers is, again, where not only are we looking at this from an ETL perspective, but how do we make sure we're aligned to other industry partners and other parties that are also going to be playing a critical role in the provision of these new technologies into these customers. So, I mean, but we see the government market continuing to be a strong contributor for ETL and the market as a whole.
As we head to IBC, what new products and changes will you be highlighting?
We've talked about digital systems. Our new Genus digital system will be a primary focus at IBC, and that sort of really bridges that gap between the traditional analog RF and of the past and the digital ground station of the future. That's a primary focus, but again, not forgetting Genus as a range of products and capabilities is our modular system, really looking at how we are developing our modular RF systems to provide that level of agility and flexibility for customers across amplifiers, across frequency converters, across fiber systems, again, is something that we're continuing to evolve. We also have a new range of noise generators, test loop translators, and satellite simulators in that Genus range that we will also be demonstrating at IBC. When we talk about where things are moving from a LEO constellation perspective, we've also been looking at how do we satisfy the major surge in number of LEO satellites going up into space. And we've developed a new compact Hawk matrix that's also very much focused around the LEO market from a flexibility and from a cost point of view.
Partnerships important these days.
We've had a partnership with ESA on our Genus digital development. We're also looking at additional opportunities to partner with other parties in technology developments. I think this is going to be a key part of the ETL model as we move forward, as very much the industry is moving into that environment where we can see a lot more organisations partnering up. The breadth of coverage means that we need to be very aligned with each other. This is where it comes back to the standards and the alignment, but again, it's too much for us to do on our own. And we need to find the right partners to support that overall infrastructure provision.
Kevin, we wish you every success.
Thank you very much.